In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Amen. Jesus says, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Because of the differing schools of thought within the Pharisees regarding divorce, they sought to entrap Jesus on this question. But Jesus is not going to be manipulated. Rather, he wants us to reflect on the holy gift of marriage. So what does he do? He takes us back to a time before the law was necessary because of the sin and the hardness of man's heart. But that is why, after all, we have divorce, hardness of man's heart. But he takes us back to the pristine goodness and order of life as God created it. He takes us back to Genesis 1 and 2. God made them male and female, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That Moses taught. And then Jesus adds to that, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Jesus is clear here that marriage is God's work. The Lord himself is the one who takes the bride and the groom and joins them to be husband and wife by his holy word. Though in the world and even amongst Christians, there is often this thought that marriage is two people giving themselves to each other in love, two people giving vows to one another and authoring them even if so as they desire, two people doing this for each other. But we are not authorized to do that, and God is the one ultimately who is joining the man and the woman. We are bought with a price, right? The Lord is the one who gives the man to the woman and the woman to the man, and they become one flesh. This is the main thing in marriage. It's gifted nature. That means that husbands, you can look at your wives and say, "You are God's gift to me." Vice versa, wives, you can look at your husbands and say, "You are the Lord's gift to me." Certainly, as sin hardens our heart through life, there are times when we look at each other crossways and we wonder if we're not really sure of the gifted nature of marriage. We wonder why it is that person was given to us. And yet, with Jesus' words here, he fights for the permanency of marriage on this earth as he knows that it is good and righteous and holy for his people. And it is good that Jesus fights for marriage. It really is, because as you well know, you are in a fierce battle with sexual license and freedom. This idea, this misguided belief that the sixth commandment apparently condemns a person to a ball and a chain or to be perpetually pregnant and barefoot. We face this immense pressure in our culture in our day to normalize things like homosexuality and transgenderism and to wink at pornography and adultery and fornication. And at times, it is really difficult, but we're apt to maybe silent about the most direct attack on marriage, and Jesus takes up the hard subject of divorce. And why are we so reticent to think of or to speak about it? And largely, I believe that it's because it's hard, and it's messy, and it's tragic, and it's really, really, really painful. Because it's the cutting apart of flesh, and that hurts a lot. And it comes close to many of us. I dare say that few of us have not known of a divorce. And yet we still will want to avoid talking about it or addressing it, because we will then go to the thought that marriage then is rather two people doing this alone. It's only just between them. But really, that cannot be the case, because few things that matter more to the health of a society, the health of a church, the health of a family, than that of the health of husband and wife, the health of marriage. The Bible is clear. Divorce is a sin, and the Lord hates it. Why? Because it undoes what God has done for the good of man and woman, for the good of all life. And also, as Jesus reminds us, it doesn't fix anything. This is what Jesus is getting at when he says that whoever commits a divorce and gets remarried commits adultery. The problems, he's pointing out, continue. And it does untold damage and damage to not only the husband and wife, but damage to society. And if there are children involved, damage to children who are caught in the crossfire. Remember that we confess that marriage is not just simply a man and a woman joined together for a family. Rather, we know that marriage is a picture of a much greater reality that Ephesians talks about, this mysterious union of Christ and His church. So we know that marriage is to be a reflection how it is with Jesus and us. Then if you think about it, what then does divorce say? Will Jesus leave you? Will He forsake you? Can He? Well, when we break up marriage, we picture Jesus as if He's unfaithful, and yet Jesus clearly is upholding the goodness of marriage here. And so He is a fierce enemy of divorce. And as His church and as His people set out in the world, we are also to defend marriage, and we are to be enemies of divorce. Now, what does this actually mean in practicality? Well, if you are married, you commit your life now and always to strengthening your marriage. Know that married life is an arena of spiritual battle and attack that the devil will not cease to come after. That one is to fight for a peaceful home when the devil is fighting for chaos to be in your home. And also that we fight against the temptation to become bored with our husband or our wife. Often this is the temptation, to lose interest in one another. And though it may not seem like a big deal at the time, when we lose interest in the home, when we lose interest in our wives or our husbands or our children, then we start looking for satisfaction and attention elsewhere. And as we know, the idle hands are the devil's workshop. When you think of marriage, also practically speaking, how one lives married life in this world, it's often kind of in three different stages, but they intertwine with one another. The first stage is basically back to back with your head on a swivel, and you're just trying to figure out how to make it through the day, right? Trying to get everyone fed, everyone clothed, everyone out the door on time so that nobody is late and nobody has things undone. That's how we spend most of our married life together. And then there is shoulder to shoulder where you are enjoying the world together. Perhaps you go for a walk, you watch a movie together, you watch your children, you go and hang out with your parents, and perhaps maybe you even sing, Louis Armstrong, "What a Wonderful World." And you enjoy that time together. And then there is this third way, this face-to-face time where you spend time talking to each other and listening to each other, and perhaps you laugh together, maybe you even cry together, but you share that time, and that often gets neglected because of the other responsibilities in life. We need to cultivate this time together, and we need to fight to love one another and prevent the devil from getting an inch, because we know that if he gets an inch, he will take a mile. We also are to not allow the devil to convince us that the goal of our own life is our own happiness. That is nonsense. Rather, the goal of your life, the goal of my life as a Christian, and yours as a Christian, is simply this. You receive the gifts of Jesus. And Jesus said that your husband or your wife is a gift from him. Now, what if you are not married? What if you are widowed? What if you are single? Well, you devote your life to Christ and his church and to serving your neighbor in the world in purity, chastity, faithfulness, and love. You pray for the marriages around you. You pray for the marriages that you know that are struggling. You pray for the people that are preparing to get married because they are daring to do something that is good and holy and right, but as you know, is really, really hard. And that the devil attacks that institution. And also, you can serve the household and family of God in ways that you otherwise would not have been able to had you been married. And also, if you are married and the Lord has not blessed your union with children, or your children are grown and out of the house, so also you have the opportunity to receive the care and love of the children of God within the household and family of God. I know that practically speaking, my children have benefited from a number of you that have done things with my children that I would have never done. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. Now, it's all a lot of law, and it's very difficult, and it's hard to preach, and it's probably harder to hear. But I think that there's wisdom, though, and there's courage so that we can see things clearly. But I do want to say one clear thing about what the Word of God has to say for those who have been wounded by divorce. Those who have had a divorce, those who've been through that tragedy. Divorce does not cut you off from God's grace. Divorce is not an unforgivable sin. By no means. The Lord is patient and kind, and that patience and that kindness has absolutely no end. His blood forgives all your sins. Even the sin of divorce. If every marriage that ever happened on this earth broke up because of divorce, I guarantee you, I promise you, and I know that Jesus would still be the bridegroom and he would come to save his bride, the church. And how do I know this? Because he receives his children. He received them and he blessed them, and he became indignant when the disciples shooed the children away. So he does for you and me. No matter how old you are, whether you are married or not married, you're single, you're divorced, you're rich, you're poor, it does not matter. The kingdom of God belongs to the children of God, and you as children of God belong to God because he has baptized you and made you his children. And as his children, he clothes you in righteousness and innocence and blessedness, removing all the scarlet letters, removing all the wrinkles, removing all the blemishes, removing all the flaws, and he betroths himself to you. And he gives his flesh to you. And he never leaves, nor will he ever forsake you. For even if we are faithless, he remains, as you must know, faithful. Beloved, Jesus receives you to himself, to have and to hold for eternal life. With his own wounded hands and his own brow of suffering, he has built a house that shall remain forever. Whatever hardness of heart that you and I have, he has opened to us and given us a new heart and a new flesh and a new life. For in this there is a love of God the Father that knows no end, that is the beginning from everlasting to everlasting. So we ought to let the sixth commandment and the instruction of Jesus today in the gospel lesson to guard our homes, to guard the imagination of our hearts, and to guard our todays and our tomorrows. We are to receive the Lord's gifts that he gives because that is the goal and the substance of our Christian life. For in life and in death, this is our confidence, that Jesus is our bridegroom and we are his bride. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.